Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is MERFA 2009 Swift Changes in IBM Support Portal. Today's presenters are Ronnie Eaton and Larry Denton. Ronnie and Larry are both senior software engineers. In this capacity, they provide level 2 support for message entry and routing with interfaces to various applications such as MERFA and WebSphere Business Integration for financial networks. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ronnie and Larry.
Okay, thanks, Joseph. My name's Ronnie Eaton, and I do level 2 support for MERFA. And my coworker Larry Denton and myself have put together a presentation here on the Swift 2009 changes, and we're also going to talk about the IBM support portal to help manage your support process with IBM. So if we go to slide 2, and the agenda that we're going to follow today is we're going to talk about the PTFs that are out for MERFA, how to deal with your old messages, talk a little bit about the Type 3 SVC, and then we're going to talk about the support portal, and then we're going to open it up for a Q&A at the end. So if we go to slide 3, the PTFs for MERFA, back in August, we closed on UK 49470 for MERFA ZOS, and that was the PTF that has the Swift changes in it for MERFA. That PTF in turn had a CUME PTF of UK 45309. So everybody should be testing now and have these two PTFs on. And when you put that CUME PTF on, that brought everybody up to like an April-May time frame as far as your MERFA maintenance. So I don't think we have any VSE customers out there. If we do, the PTF that you need is UK 4882. And I know we have some customers using the MERFA client for Windows, what we call the MPC, Message Processing Client. And if you're using that product, then you will need to apply UK 46431. So if we go to slide 4, since that time of August, we have come out with some additional PTFs. For MERFA ZOS, we have UK 50433, and for VSE, we have UK 50434. Now, we recommend that you put these PTFs on, but they're really not mandatory, because all they do is update the MERFA help panels with the new Swift MAC codes. Okay. If you're using the message client for Windows, then it is mandatory that you apply UK 49900 because we found a problem with Swift Field 59 within the new 202 cover payment. So that is mandatory. Now, as always, you know, we've still got 3 weeks left. There might be an additional PTF that comes out. I will send out emails. Our website will be updated with it. But as of now, these are the PTFs that are currently available. If we go to slide 5, yeah, it seems like every year, every other year, we have a customer that, you know, brings up their MERFA that Sunday morning, that Monday morning, and, you know, they get a hang, a wait, a timeout condition because they're trying to process an old message with the new code. And so it's very important that you process all the messages on your queue, whether you're using VSAM or DB2, with the new PTF. The easiest way to do it is just come up Sunday or Monday morning with an empty QDS. In other words, all your queues are empty and have a queue count, a message count of 0. That's easy for me to say, but it's not very realistic in real life because we all have forms queues, dummy queues, template queues. Some of us have archive queues. And in that case, you need to process those messages with the new code. So what you need to do is unload each queue that's got messages in it with SDO. And in the JCL, you want to put in your step lib, MERFA load libraries that have the current code. And run, you know, as many SDO jobs as you need for each queue that you have. This will create a flat file. And then you want to SDI them, reload them back in, and that's ACL and your step live. You want to point to Merva load lives that have the current, the 2009 PTF, so those old messages will get converted correctly. Okay. We go to slide 6. You know, if you only have 4 or 5, maybe 10 queues, using SDO and SDI is probably the right way to do it. I know some of us have many queues that we keep out there, 40, 50, sometimes 100 queues that, you know, we have templates and skeletons and stuff like that. And it's, the recommendation is to use our REX utility, SDUR and SDIR. That way you only have to run one job. It will create one flat file, and that flat file will be used as input when you run the reload job. And Merva on the reload will know, because it has a pointer in that file, where every message in that flat file, what queue it belongs to, and put it in the appropriate queue. So that's a recommendation if you have many queues. If we go to slide 7, you know, throughout the year, we get a lot of questions, and we've gotten quite a few around this time of the year, about the Type 3 SVC that Merva uses. And the name of that module is DSL NIC PM. And that's the Type 3 SVC that handles data transfers between the region where Merva is running and the other regions that request Merva resources, like your other batch regions where you're running your print jobs, your SDO, your SDIs, other CICS address spaces where Merva transactions are running and being routed to the KIX region where Merva is running. And so the question always comes up, you know, I applied maintenance to this SVC, when can I move it into production? And the answer is whenever your MVS group schedules your IPL, okay, because that SVC is not dependent on any other Merva PTFs. It's upward, downward compatible with any Merva level you're at. So, in other words, you know, your MVS group can move it now, later, after the November 21st cutover. It simply makes no difference. It's not dependent upon anything. Okay. So if we go to slide 8, I wanted to bring this up. A while back, we introduced the PTF, and it's got a new command in it called CTEMP. And that stands for copy template. This is a command that works just like the copy from a forms queue. If you're in data entry, a lot of us will put messages out into a forms queue. Our users will copy in that message and just have to change a couple fields and send it on its way. And what this CTEMP does is it does the same thing. It copies a message in from a forms queue, but when it copies it into the data entry queue, it goes out and it deletes all the message trace entries that were so far created for that message. You know, the message trace is really the history of a message, okay? So basically, we had a couple customers saying for debugging purposes, they'd have a problem with the message. First thing they go to is the message trace to look at the history of the message, see where it came from, who's touched it, was it an application, was it a user, and you can type in help 0HMTR when you bring a message up and see the history of that message. And we had a couple customers that wanted the history of that message to start with data entry. They didn't want to see anything before that. So after you do the CTEMP, copy it into the data entry queue, if you were to do a help to look at the history of that message, you would see an error message now saying no message trace information available. So all the history for that particular message has been erased. So it just makes for debugging easier. Okay. So if we go to slide 9, you know, some of us are still on DSAM. Some of us have moved to Merva DB2, using DB2 for the Merva database. If you are using DB2, you know, it's highly recommended that you use the DSL QMD i3 module. It exploits all the new capabilities with DB2 version 8. Greatly reduces the 9/11 deadlocks. It increases the message throughput. And the way you specify that is with the QIO parameter in your DSL PARM. So if we go to slide 10, I know this is a Merva presentation, but some of us out there are also using our other product, WBIFN. And the question has come up, you know, is there anything I need to do for WBIFN for the Swift 2009 changes? And yes, there is a PTF out there, UK 48728, and basically currently the 202 and the 205 has to be 2,000 bytes or less in length. With the changes coming in November, those two message types can now have a maximum length of 10,000 bytes, and WBIFN needs to know about that. So you can go in and apply this PTF, but again, it's not mandatory. If you don't want to apply it, all you have to do is go into USS and go under your DNF0202/admin/data directory and bring up the CLI script called DNF CZC1I, bring it up in edit mode, go out and delete 202, delete the 205, and then rerun the script. And that will update WBIFN to allow for message types 202 and 205 to exceed 2,000 bytes, and you'd want to do it that weekend for the 21st. Okay, so if we go to the next foil, I'm going to turn it over to Larry, and he's going to talk about the IBM support portal.
Thanks, Ronnie. Let's turn to slide 12. Here's where you'll see the topics I plan to cover. First, I will show you the new IBM support portal webpage, which provides you the opportunity to combine all of your IBM support products pages onto one. Over the past few years, we have been standardizing the IBM product support pages. Now we are making it even easier to get the support for all of your products from one location. I will not cover all the features and options of the IBM support portal page, but will highlight some of the features I think will be most helpful. In particular, I will cover notifications, flashes, and alerts, and opening service requests. We'll end with an opportunity for you to ask questions. If you turn to slide 13, on slide 13, you will see what the IBM support portal page looks like. There are a number of modules defaulted on the page, which include notifications, training, flashes and alerts, and support services. The arrow is pointing to the area of the screen where you can sign in. If you have not already registered, you have an opportunity to register here. Slide 14. On slide 14, you will see the arrow pointing to the site assistance at the bottom left corner of the page. If you select this option, you will be provided with a detailed assistance on how to use the IBM support portal page. We move on to slide 15. On slide 15, you will see the site assistance page. Here, you can receive assistance on how to navigate the IBM support portal page, how to search for information, how to work with different modules on the page, and how to work with the content within the page. If we go on to slide 16, we're back to the IBM support portal page. The arrow points to the module on the page where the products you have selected are listed, and you have the opportunity to manage your product list. As you can see, I have selected DB2 for ZOS, Merva, WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Business Integration for Financial Networks, WebSphere Message Broker, and WebSphere MQ. If you look over the page, you will see information pertaining to these products are represented in each of the modules. On slide 17, the arrow is pointing to the option on the page where you can customize the module displayed on this support page. You can also drag and drop any of the existing modules on the page to customize to your preference. As you can see, there are numerous categories to select from, which includes overview, downloads, troubleshooting, documentation, forums and communities, planning installation, usage, and open service request. For example, I have expanded the download category where you have the option to select from a number of modules, which includes browse download links, dedicated support sites, download tools, Fix Central, flashes and alerts, and recommended fixes. On slide 18 has the arrow pointing to the notifications module. From this module, you have the option of subscribing to support notifications for each product. I have expanded for the Merva product on slide 19. So if we go on to slide 19, you can see that the arrow is pointing to the subscribe to support notifications. By selecting this option, you will have the opportunity to customize your subscription. If we move on to slide 20, it shows the subscription page where you can customize your notifications. You have the option to select from a complete list of document types for which you would like to be notified. The option to receive an email daily and weekly would be quite helpful, as well as the option to deliver via an RSS feed. On page 521, it takes us back to the IBM support portal page, and the arrow points to the RSS feeds for the support content. By selecting this option, you'll be presented with the instructions for subscribing to the RSS feeds. If we go on to slide 22, you will see the RSS feeds instructions along with a list of the latest feeds. And for this example, the latest feeds are for the product WebSphere integration for financial networks. We go on to slide 23. We're back on the IBM support portal page, and the arrow is pointing to the flashes and alerts. In this case, I have expanded those for the MERVA product. It shows the most recent flashes and alerts and provides you with the option to view a full page where you can scroll through all the flashes and alerts for the product. One of the flashes of note is the one for August 31st, 2009, where the MERVA PTS for the Swift SR2009 changes are identified. If we move on to slide 24, it shows the arrow pointing to the open service request in the bottom left-hand corner. I know you are aware that you can report problems through the 1-800 number, but you can also use this feature. By selecting this option, you can begin the process of opening a service request. We move on to slide 25. It provides you with the options to open a new service request, select from a draft service request you have saved, or review existing service requests. If you look in the upper right-hand corner of the page, you will see under the New Service Request tool, the Learn More option, where you can get complete service request assistance. If we move on to slide 26, this is the top part of the service request assistance screen, and it provides you an overview where you can link to the service request help desk and get information as to when and how you would like to use a service request. Page slide 27 is the bottom part of the service request assistance screen, which describes what is needed to access the service request tool. In particular, you need a valid software support contract, and if you have not already done so, you will need to register. When you register, you will need a valid customer number. Once you have opened a new service request, you will be presented with slide 28. On slide 28 is where you can select from a list of your preferred products or select a new product. As you can see, I have MERVA ESA and WebSphere Business Integration for Financial Networks in my preferred list. However, if there is a different product you need to open a service request for, you would search and select from a list of products at the bottom of the page. Once you have selected a product, we move on to slide 29. On slide 29, you'll have the opportunity to verify your contact information and modify it if necessary. You should provide your name, email address, phone numbers, and optionally, an alternate contact. Once you have completed the contact information, we need to move on to slide 30. When slide 30 comes up, at this screen, you will need to provide the severity of the problem, how the problem is impacting your business, request type, problem title, and problem description. After filling out all of this information, you can submit your service request. This completes my part of the presentation. I will now turn it over to Joseph to finish the presentation.
At this point in time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I show no questions.
Thank you, Judy. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.